Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Let us pray. Father of love, we come before you and we say thanks. It's been a while since we've been together as a team and we've missed everybody. We feel like a father who needs to bring his children before you and push them towards you. We gladly do that with our friends here, that you will see them, that you will draw them closer to you, that you will pull us all into your breast. And in this evening hour, you'll provide a special word for us, a special strength, and a special insight. For Father, it's been a while since we've been able to talk at this level, and we have much to discuss with the team. We also are aware of the fact that you have much to share with us too, and we are excited to come together. Pray for those that were not able to connect with us this evening. We pray you will draw their hearts to us, and that, Father, you'll provide the strength that we need to get through our worldly situations in our lives, but never let those actually interfere with our responsibilities as guardians. You know the issues going on in this world. We trust you that you have your finger on the pulse, and we are thankful, Father, that we are not drawn in by all the drama, but that we can focus on who we are. Provide your blessing over our family members and their concerns. We always pray for eternity. They are surrounding us and a part of this too, because they also want to learn. They are interested. We have extended an invitation to all of our family members in eternity that they too can be a part of this meeting now. We pray and leave everything in your hands. And we know, Father, the three of you are here with us this evening. We again resign our will to yours, and we accept all that you wish to share with us, and we pray that your heart is open. Thank you for everything you do for us. We love you dearly. And as always, according to your will, we ask. And in your name we pray, please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to give you my peace. And then I met with Father yesterday, and here's what he had to say. Dear children, your Father loves you very much. I know that these past few months have been very trying and upsetting at times. It is important that you stay on task. We cannot let the world sway us in our work and preparation for the future. Triland will touch on many topics this evening. Please pay close attention. My boy will open up to you and share his heart. You may think, with what you hear in the news, that I am not paying attention. I certainly am. So much still needs to happen before the first part of my plan is implemented. Perhaps you will remember a year ago when I said the United States would fall. Can you see now how this is possible? It does not matter in the grand plan I have. Do not lose heart over any of this. I am with you. Your focus is not on any political point of view, whether it is wrong, a lie, or the truth. Nothing of this world matters. Only the souls do. Your focus needs to be right now on you. Many of you are not even meditating. You concern yourselves with the worldly issues. Ridiculous. Focus on me and what I have asked of you. Prepare yourselves. Be the guardians and support I have created you for. I also know that the services don't meet with your expectations. Well, they do meet mine and eternity's. Stop criticizing and judging. When you do this, you insult me. I am not speaking of when you have a question about something and need it clarified. I am giving you what I feel you need, but you need to still ask, seek, and then find it. Focus, children, on my word, and you will be fed. I know you are not receiving Holy Communion. I am compensating in other ways. Again, you do not know what you have until it is gone. Triland will expound on this subject later. Be wise in your conversations, not judgmental and destructive. Remember, you are an extension of Triland, and he and I are one. He is me, and I am him. Some of you forget this because time has passed and there has not been such a strong connection as of late. He will speak on this as well. Be kind and listen to him. Please come see me, Jesus and HS. We have plenty of time for all of you. Once more, I will tell you, your Father loves you, and I give you my peace. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, I have a ahead. Comment.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah! That is so awesome. And I'm not going to expound a long time, but the bottom line is I just had a really forceful, forceful conversation with someone at our house, Cindy's brother. And he was touting about all the things that are, you know, that he just is so mad about. And what Father said is, it doesn't matter. That came out strongly. Mm-hmm. And the souls are what matter. That came out strongly. And we can talk about that stuff later, but hallelujah. Sure. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Anybody else? Under our deeper understanding, I have four things I'd like to share with you. I don't know if everybody watched both services today. The Apostle Schmidt held the U.S. service, and our Chief Apostle held the Canadian service. What was nice was they were both completely different services. In the service that the Apostle held, he spoke a little bit about Holy Communion, and he made the point that when Moses was in the wilderness with everybody wandering around aimlessly, that he provided manna, and that manna lasted as long as he wanted it to last for the Israelites, and he always provided something for them to sustain him. He said, the last time you had Holy Communion, he is still using that Holy Communion to sustain you. I want to expound and say, our Father has often said, and even in his message tonight, he said, I am providing extra for you. I'm doing it, he's compensating in other ways, he said. The other thing that I found interesting is that I think the reason why we're starving for it, well, there's many reasons we're starving for it, because it gives us strength. But the other thing that I don't think we always realize what happens is that when we share in Holy Communion with Jesus, he actually shares his nature, a piece of him, with us, which helps us to overcome. I don't know if we've ever discussed that or even considered that as a point. That actually came out of the Apostle Orlovsky's service a couple weeks ago, and that struck my heart, because I have often viewed Holy Communion as a sacred time, but I never really heard that Jesus actually shares his nature with us. And for us, I think that's a huge thing. Does anybody have any questions or comments on that?
When you see his nature, what do you define as nature? Like his way of being, his
correct
way, is his conscious, like her consciousness, or I guess okay. So it's
yes.
His way of being.
Whoa.
You're breaking up there.
The way he would act, essentially, right?
Yes.
In a given situation.
Yes. Starlight made the comment. His virtues.
Yeah,
his
okay.
all good aspects of him, his kindness, his love, his forgiveness, his non-judgment, every piece of him that is good, we get a part of that every time we share communion.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. Anybody else?
So that explains, just a comment, that explains why we're longing for it. The brothers make it sound like we deserve it. I hate when they say we don't deserve it. And I've never thought of us deserving it. It's just I'm longing for it. I'm like a man in a desert that forgets what water even tasted like, you know?
Right.
And it kind of puts me off a little bit. It's like, well, we shouldn't expect it. Well, no, it's not that we expect it. Unless people are complaining, we're not, you know what I mean? Like people are like, maybe they're getting all the bad emails and calls like, hey, you lousy brothers, why aren't we getting communion? Maybe that's what people are doing. I've never thought of it as that we deserved it, right?
I haven't either.
People are complaining. Maybe they are complaining now that I think about it. But I miss it. I miss it. There's a physical part for me, not just, I mean, again, I'm not I'm going to hold myself alone. I don't know how everybody else feels, obviously. But when I don't get it, I can barely move physically. And when I, you know, even Sam, my brother-in-law, brought some over and consecrated it so that if he can't get over here, I could take it. And I haven't snuck any. I've got this pile sitting there. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take it. It's not like a stolen cookie, right? But I miss it physically. So that's just right. My comment.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. The second thing I would like to share with you kind of goes along with the social media comments. Nucleo sent an email out last couple weeks ago discussing this topic, and I just want to read something to you out of Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for a necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You have to be careful with what we post all the time. Sometimes I know we get fired up and we think that we're going to put this person in their place and we're going to make a point about something. That is not our place. Our place is to nurture, to build up, to share with everybody what we know from what we have heard in the services, from what we share in these meetings. We are to share a part of our Father with these people. He even made the point we shouldn't be getting involved with politics. So I'm going to encourage everybody, keep your comments to yourself. Be mindful of who you are before you send anything or post anything on social media, because down the road, these things will be thrown back in your face. Just be careful. We don't have to be right. Even Father made the point. It doesn't matter if it's a lie, if it's the truth. It doesn't matter. Our responsibility is for the souls of mankind. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I got one. I know I'm myself.
You're breaking up again. We can't hear you. We can't hear you. Nothing's coming through.
What was the Bible verse again?
Ephesians. Isaiah. I'm sorry, Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians 4:29.
4:29. Thank you.
It does remind me a little bit of the service that the chief apostle held this morning, in that it was very, he said sometimes it's better to be quiet. And yes, also through our actions, we can say a lot more than actually what we speak is more how we behave and how we act. That's what people will look at. So I found it very interesting. And then the chief apostle also said it's important for us to be quiet so that we can also hear God's word. So the message that we received tonight through you was also very similar to the message that the chief apostle was trying to portray. Also, he said about not falling into rumors, don't spread gossip. You know, if you haven't heard it or seen it yourself, be careful that you don't just go on and spread more rumors and gossip.
That is correct. Thank you for bringing that up. Atmos is going to dial in.
So if I could share something while he is on his way back in a small group session, it came out this way. And HS was strong and it was beautiful because after it made more sense. So how many people would pass by an invalid, someone trying to do something that they can't do on their own, just pass them by and not help them? Almost everybody would help them, and especially us, right? So when we think about a word that came was out of Acts, and it basically states our silence will confound the ignorant and foolish. And so we look at what's happening in the world right now, and a lot of people are doing silly things. I'm not going to call them ignorant, foolish, even though they are, but My point is that the stuff doesn't make sense, but our silence in it is what makes the difference. So now we take someone out there who has the opposite views as we do in the world, and we judge them. We hate them. That's not the right way to be, because now when they enter into eternity, they aren't going to be that person. They will be that person, but their condition will be totally different. They'll be like an invalid. And if we want to become like the Lord Jesus, we partake of Holy Communion to become like him, then we want to be the bride. The bride is there to help. And we are there to help those souls in Trinity who, however they felt in this world, if that's what they use, if that was important to them, it's not that important spiritually.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Atmos, you're up.
Oh, just in time. I just got back on. All right.
That's much better.
Cool. Sorry about that. My backcountry internet sometimes is pretty horrible. Earlier at the end of May, earlier in June, my best man for my wedding was out on the river, the St. Joe River, with some friends. And it so happened that one of the people that were with him was an 8-year-old kid. They were on a beach, or they were anchored off the sandbar, and a wave runner came by and swept this kid out into the river. And where they're at, the current is really swift. You have a lot of water that narrows down into almost a bottleneck of the river. And my buddy right away jumped in, because this kid was starting to struggle almost immediately. He jumped in and grabbed this kid, and two other guys that were fishing from shore jumped in and tried to help him too. So my buddy was able to grab this kid, take a deep breath, go underwater, and shove him towards the guys that were fishing. And they managed to save the kid, but my buddy never surfaced. They found his body a day and a half later, about a half mile down from where he had gone in. He was my best man at my wedding. His name was Matt. And he was a heck of a good guy. Just a very interesting individual, and I was blessed to have known him and to be his friend and to call him my friend. So we went to his funeral. The family asked me to speak. But I can honestly say my experience, this was one of the best funerals I've ever been to. It may sound weird to say that about a funeral, but it really was a great funeral. I got to meet all his family and friends, and of course they were sad, but at the same time, you know, they were happy with the fact that he was kind of a hero, right? I know he doesn't like the thought of being called a hero, because he just wasn't that kind of guy, but that's really what he was. So anyways, long story short, Danielle and I, after the wedding, we went to a restaurant where he used to work, and he had been an integral part of setting up the upstairs bar, and it's one of the upscale, better known restaurants in the Twin Cities area, in St. Joe, Benton Harbor area. So we went up there and we were going to get dinner and just kind of remember Matt. So we're sitting up there and he's there and he's smiling, and I was like, hey, you know, how you doing? He's like, pretty good. He's like, don't mention my name to anybody. I'm like, oh, okay. I just got that thought. You don't mention Matt's name to anybody. Okay. Well, we're sitting there, and he's kind of leaning up against the post, and he looks at me, and he just smiles with his smile, and he's like, don't worry about your meal, I got it. And I looked at him, and I was like, well, that's all fine and dandy, dude, but I'm still going to have to walk out of here paying for this meal. I don't know how you're going to get – I don't know how you're paying for my meal, but it's cool. I got it. He's like, nope, I got it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So – Danielle and I both ordered a drink, and we ordered an appetizer. We had a drink and our appetizer. We put our dinner order in, and just as we put our dinner order in, the fire alarm on the building started going off. So our server left, and he came back. He's like, hey, the fire department's on their way. They're just coming here to shut down the alarm. They're the only ones that can do it. They had a bit of an issue in the kitchen. There was no fire, but the alarm's going off. I'm like, okay, that's cool, whatever. So he came back about 10 minutes later and he said, I hate to tell you this, but the kitchen's been shut down. It's full of water. We're unable to make your dinner, but your drinks and your appetizer are on the house. And I was like, I was blown away. I looked over at Danielle and I was like, my mouth was kind of open and then I started smiling. She goes, it's not funny. I was like, no, I understand. And then I told her what happened. I said, Matt said he's got this. Like he was going to get our meal for us. And she looked at me and she goes, what? So it was an amazing experience. And Father said, he asked me and I allowed it. So it was awe-inspiring. It really was to know that Father can have that much love for someone who kind of struggled in life. He was trying to find his, he'd always had a relationship with God. He never really had a church home per se, but he always had a good, strong relationship with God. And he was the kind of guy who he prayed for everybody else. And he told me that he said he never prayed for himself. And I asked him why. And he said, because other people need the help more than he did. So he was just that kind of guy. He never prayed for himself. And we were also blessed to be able to take a weekend trip together to Ann Arbor. And, you know, we're just hanging out. It was just a guy's weekend thing. And he asked me, he said, so why do you pray for yourself? And I said, well, you know, you can't help others if you're not in a good place. If you're not right yourself, you can't help other people. I said, and God helps those who help themselves, you know, and I think that really, thankfully, it kind of piqued his interest a little bit. I think it made him think about it differently. And even his mom had mentioned the fact that he brought up that weekend and kind of just how impactful that was for his faith life. He only had a couple of months after that, but she said she noticed a change in him and she talked to him on a daily basis. So she said she noticed a change in him just over the phone because she's from Tennessee. So I was really happy and blessed to know all that and that Father would allow that big of a change in such a short amount of time to happen for him and that he would allow, you know, use me to help Matt in that way. And that he would also allow Matt Matt kind of got into his good graces, so to speak, I guess you might say. I think Father always knew what the plan was, obviously. Matt didn't, but he always said he was never afraid to die and he saved this little kid's life. And I think what Father did for him and for us was just kind of a little, you know, kind of a tip of the hat type of thing to say, you did what I put you there to do. So it was very, very amazing. Just again, awe inspiring. It was an amazing experience.
Thank you for sharing. I must apologize. I thought you had something you wanted to add to the social media part of the meeting.
Sorry.
It's okay. Sorry. It's not your fault. That's my fault. I asked Atmos to share that story with everybody. He just jumped the gun because I said, it's your turn to go, but it's all good. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Nope, it's all good. Thank you for sharing. Yep. The other thing I wanted to share with everybody is I'm sorry, who has a question? Anybody else? Anybody want to comment on what Atmos shared?
You have a very beautiful friend, Atmos.
Thank you. He was a very a kind individual, and his family was blown away because they're all from out of the area. When they came to this area, how many people loved that guy? How many people knew him? And just what kind of an impact he had in that community? They were very surprised. They didn't know that he had that many friends and family in the area, and really it was family.
Okay, thank you. We're still under a deeper understanding. Based on the current world's issues, I would like to read 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 13 through 15. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I know that we all don't agree with everything that's going on in this world on our local basis. I'm going to ask everybody to, again, stop judging the leaders. I am not a big fan of our governor. I personally believe that what she's doing sometimes is ridiculous, but she is trying to do what's best, she thinks. We are supposed to follow what happens. So I'm just throwing this out there because I know it's a bone of contention for many. It becomes a political argument. Again, Father doesn't want us getting involved. I just wanted to throw that out there for that sake. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add?
I've got a question.
Sure.
So, from a Bill of Rights standpoint, from a founding document standpoint, constitutional standpoint, Father wants us to ignore all that and follow what our current leaders are saying?
In so many words, yeah.
So even if that means we lose our freedoms and our rights.
Correct.
Okay, if I could interject here. We are spiritual beings who are here for a blink. We are here to become the bride of Christ. We are guardians who have an even greater responsibility. Mm-hmm. We are here for a blink. They are not going to take anything away from us.
No.
We are going to live forever with our Heavenly Father. I'm sorry if I sound so strong, but I've been talking to people about this stuff for a little bit, and it's just getting ridiculous. And I hate to say it like that. I love you. I love everybody here. And Jeremy, I'm not saying anything that is against you. It's just that we are worrying about stuff that's temporal. Father wants us to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is so much more. It's eternal.
Correct. Plus, I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
To take care of, too. I have, you know, other lives that I have to think about, just like you
but
do.
But those other lives, see, our Heavenly Father takes care of us completely.
I understand that, but he also gave me a body and a mind with which to use to...
Okay,
to
I'm sorry. World. Yeah, I'll be so, done.
Please don't pounce on me for my thoughts and questions. I'm simply trying to filter out what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I mean,
I am sorry.
That Father has put in my stead, so I have to do what's best for me and mine.
But what's best for all of us is to listen to Father's instruction and live
that's why
in
I
love and treat others with love and respect. That's really all that we're asked to do.
Exactly. That's why I asked the question.
And again, I see a problem with, not now, but down the road. Because right now, we still can't worship the way we're supposed to. The way we're allowed to. There's governors that are telling us, and I get that we're gonna keep our mouths shut, but they're in California they can't sing. In certain parts of the country, they're not allowed to have worship. Even with our churches opening and the district apostle explaining. But there are certain laws, and I research them, that are preventing people that even when our church decides to allow us to come back in and with the masks and everything. Members are not going to be allowed to go into the church. And that's the line. And again, yes, we're spiritual beings, and yes, we're guardians, but there's going to be a time where we're going to be asked to do things that are going to go against God's will. And I understand his point about his family and what he's got to do, because I have arguments with people here about how far do you let the government push you? And I won't post anymore, and I'm really trying not to even have conversations, but there's going to be a time that we're going to have to make a decision. Where do we stand? And saying that we're spiritual people and not being able to get into our church, that's going to be a scary time. I see
not really. Where, I'll tell you why.
You don't think so?
Because the building means absolutely nothing. We can worship Father from our living room, connecting ourselves with the services. We can worship him through meditation. We can worship him driving in a car. The building does not matter.
When it becomes illegal to work,
becomes illegal, we will still be doing it.
Okay.
Because nobody can control us, which leads me to the final point I wanted to make under a deeper understanding. I apologize if this is striking a nerve, but HS prompted me to bring all of this up, and now I can see why.
I'm glad you're bringing it. We need to talk because we're friends. We love each other.
Right. That's right. That's right. Okay, so let me finish this. Isaiah 43, chapter 2, which kind of sums up everything for us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Father, and I don't know how many messages this year has said, I am with you. My dear friends, he is with us. He will take care of all of this. And if some human being thinks that they can get in the way of Father's plan, he will remove them. Nothing is gonna get in our way. They can think they can. They think they can. I trust in Father completely to the point that I can talk to him anytime I want to. And if they outlaw worshiping God, they can't come into my home and know that I'm worshiping him. And I'm not even going to worry about something like that because I think we're going way off base here, okay?
Okay.
So let's just bring it right back around because there's certainly the spirit of separation that's playing with a number of hearts tonight. I'm clearing everybody's space about 3 minutes ago. I need everyone to take a big, deep breath, please. I don't want us to argue during a meeting. I am thankful that all of you feel comfortable to express what's in your heart. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm not correcting anybody. You have the right to feel what you're feeling. And you have the right to do what you wish you do. I'm just asking that you take to heart the things that HS has brought out to us this evening. Okay? Does anybody have any other comment?
Thank you for letting us.
I do.
Okay.
Sunday, we're going to have service. Montana is the only area that's going to open up, and we will have a service on Sunday. So I'm happy about it, and I'm looking forward to it.
I think the things that we also need to keep in mind, you know, the things that we're doing now are going to have ramifications on us in the future. So I try to be conscious of my actions and the things that I do and say now, because I know that later on down the road, we're going to have to answer for them, or, you know, somebody's going to bring something up and try to have a smear campaign and whatnot. But also think about not so much the worldly part of it, but think of the ramifications of things that what we do now will have to answer for those to Father at some point as well. So I have my own personal opinions and things and stuff, but I try to separate those as well, because everything is so temporary right now, and we all have families, and we all don't want our rights taken away, and we don't want, you know, all different things, you know, that everybody has personal opinions and feelings about. But what I try to keep in my mind and in the front of my mind is what does Father want us to do? What is the most important thing? And I think if we keep.
We learn to cope and deal with the situation as time passes, and we build up a tolerance for what happened, and then the hurt starts to lessen. Does that make sense to everybody?
Can you say that again, please?
And deal with what happened to us as time passes. And we build up a tolerance for what happened, and the hurt then starts to lessen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Total sense.
And he asked me to thank everybody for their prayers. and we will continue to remember the realm of the suicides. I don't know if everybody had the opportunity to watch both services for the departed last week, but the U.S. service was a completely different service than the Canadian to invite a soul to come to the service. That's what our brothers and sisters do. We are we're the intercessory. We intervene in between them and fathers, and then we hope that they're able to accept that invitation. Does that make sense to everybody? I don't want to contradict the district apostle, but I'm sorry. He said we. Well, the apostolate does. I can. You can, because you are an extension of me, and I'm an extension of Father. But most of our members can't. It's not a holy body. All I know is from what Father and I discussed this afternoon is that when the soul enters into eternity, he gave this analogy. He said, if you've ever seen anybody that's going on a really long trip and they have a bunch of bags and suitcases and bags around them, he said they made that point, that there aren't groups.
Yes.
That there's just,
yes, it's just a realm.
It's just a realm, and we can't identify people that way. I'm sorry, that is not true, because those of us who have been in eternity, we have walked into group realms where there's been so many souls under that heading or description of what's going on in that realm. So regret and remorse, you feel sorry about something, one thing. They just have to choose one. They can't move forward. They stay where they are in their own realm, and they don't move. And this is why it takes longer for a soul in eternity to move. They cannot sin additionally because they don't have flesh. Now, would it be a sin to deny the help that Father's offering to them? I don't know. That's Father's judgment. Maybe that's what the district apostle Wool is discussing, that they can continue to sin there. And that's possible, I think, on that level. But as Father is concerned, that once they're there, they have to pick one to start with. And once they pick one, then he moves them into that realm with those that are like that person. Now, he said to me the reason he does that is not that he wants them to now discourage each other, but it's almost like an Alcoholic Anonymous class, isn't it? Where they get all together, and now they can all relate to each other on some level, and then a brother and sister come in, and they discuss with them, kind of like a therapist, how they can overcome or get out of the situation they're in. Other souls can share, this is what happened to me, this is what happened to me. And through that process, then they're able to move out of that realm, go to a service. They can have that sin forgiven at that point. Well, now they have to go now when they go back. And that's why when Michael said to me 15 years ago, at the end of a service for the departed, then they move on to the next level of their faith, which means now they have to pick another bag. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
It does to me.
And are they made aware of, like, some may be oblivious to their sins, so are they made aware of them in any way?
They certainly are. The moment they enter in, they are completely aware of everything they've done wrong.
Oh.
Everything. Because there's no flesh, they know everything that they did wrong. And now the struggle comes, like we heard with the American Indians, they didn't want to accept the fact that when they killed that other person, all they were doing was protecting their land.
Right.
But they still killed somebody.
Right.
So now they have to get to the level where they have to admit that, yeah, maybe I did something wrong. And they have to admit that to Father. And then they have to have some kind of remorse because they took a life. Yes, you're protecting your land. But ultimately, you killed somebody.
Right.
It's a little different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with every soul that enters in, they can sit and wallow in their sin. And that's what happens to a lot of them. It really does. Because honestly, for us as human beings, if we didn't have flesh, and every single thing that you and I have that we've done wrong our entire life has never been forgiven, can you imagine the weight of that.
Yeah.
And the despair and the depression and the sadness to sit in that moment and realize that you're not the person you thought you were, but now you are the person Father sees you as.
Right.
That's why they need more of our prayers.
Mm-hmm. So how should we pray for them then? What would be that their eyes are opened, or that they have an understanding, or what would you suggest?
All of the above.
Okay.
That they understand the situation they're in, that they're willing to listen to our brothers and sisters,
uh-huh.
that they're willing to accept the help that Father's offering them.
Right.
And that okay. they are willing to accept the invitation to come to a service.
Right.
Excellent questions. Anybody else?
Can we go back? Just you kind of mushed through the second and third point. D.A. Wohl said that this, where am I? I'm trying to, Father gave the analogy of a bunch of bags in a trip. You had said that they don't sin, and now we went further to where the sin, so they cannot sin more. They just have to sin. They have to deal with the sin, right? Is that
correct?
What you're reading?
Yes.
Okay.
They have to deal with the sin they brought in with them.
And where is he getting, because it sounds like he got this directly from the chief apostle.
Because I
watched
the
service again just before the meeting. Okay. It's not in the catechism. I know, Jerry, you've read the catechism. I actually want to read the catechism to see what I believe.
But, always a good plan to understand our
faith. I got to read it to make sure I'm still believing what we're taught. I mean, that's tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But, okay. Thank you.
Certainly. And then the third question was, D.A. Wohl mentioned that the spirit stays with the soul when it enters into eternity. That is not correct. The spirit does get recycled. The soul, the only part of Father that's eternal, that goes into eternity. The spirit doesn't need to be there anymore because the spirit can't help that soul anymore. That's where our brothers and sisters come into play. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Charlie, I got a question about this whole thing.
Sure.
Is it that he just doesn't know, the church doesn't know? Was there a spirit there that was maybe, or was he allowing himself to try and teach what maybe he didn't really know, or what was going on there that made me think?
Honestly, I don't know where they got their information from, but I know that as I listen to him, they are convicted in what they're teaching. They believe it in their hearts, both district apostles. So I don't know if they had a seminar with the chief apostle. And forgive me for saying this, it's not my place to judge our brothers, okay? But it has come to our attention that the church is trying to thumb it down, water it down, so it's easier for other people to believe, to make it not seem like we're so segregated from every other faith. But I'm sorry, we are. And our faith is deeper than most religions go, and we have a better understanding of what's going on simply because of these meetings and what Father shares with us. Will they understand in time? They certainly will. But as it is right now, I don't know where they're getting their information from. And I even kind of sat up when I was listening to both services and kind of scratched my head. And I looked at Father, but he said nothing. So I'm not going to say anything. I can't. I have no information. I'm sorry, I can't answer your question.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just didn't know if maybe there's just a lack of preparation, or maybe some over preparation, or what's going on.
No, I don't know.
I think there's another part to this, because I know that Tom was really upset by the service, but then the other thing I pointed out to him was, and I'm not saying that what was said was right, but what I am saying is that I know that there's a lot of new people that have come as a result of the services being on the internet, and if you notice that the district, maybe you didn't, but what I noticed was that the district apostle, to me, it was almost like he was trying to convince people that we were not calling the dead, that we were not holding a right. seance, that we were not.
Right.
And so I think that's where it got kind of wishy-washy mm-hmm. was, I think he was so busy making the point that we're not doing, like for guests, it would, I don't know, like years ago, they would say to us, it's best not to invite a guest to a service for the departed for his first service, because it would be very overwhelming for them to try to understand what was going on and what our faith is all about. And so the only thing I thought was, in part, not, and I, like I said, I did not agree with a lot of it, but I almost felt like it was padding things a little bit for those that would be yeah. online, that perhaps would be just waiting to pounce for whatever was said that would be really way out there.
Right.
I don't know. That was just the impression that I got. Well, but it was a different service for the departed.
It was more sure. of a seminar than it was a service.
Exactly. It was like really odd.
Yeah,
it was like a teaching for people that had never been to a service for the departed Correct. Before. Yeah.
Right. I would agree.
And it is on the internet, so now
yeah.
you know, I mean, it's good. But maybe that you're right, Susan, or Tranquility. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's all good.
And can I just say something else?
Sure.
I go back to the service for the Chief Apostle service this morning. And the one thing that the Chief Apostle said was that the biggest virus in the spiritual world is the one that wants to destroy unity.
Mm.
And that really hit home with me now, even. And, yeah. you know, with this, with the questions and, but the one thing that he did say was that God knows what he's doing and that we just have to trust him. And he said, our souls should tell us just to be quiet and to trust him.
Yeah.
So I think, well, we saw it, how easy it is for the unity to be challenged through innocent questions. But in my heart, I really believe that God knows what he's doing, and that if we trust him, we will have nothing to worry about. We'll have nothing to fear in the future.
Amen.
Get her a black suit.
Mm-hmm. Choir.
Telling you. Susan, how many times, sorry, Tranquility, how many times have I told Susan? You're going to be a minister.
Mm-hmm. I'm too close to retirement.
So we're going to push that to 85.
Thank you. The next topic I want to discuss is respecting and honoring Father more, ironically enough, by taking him at his word, accepting his invitation to visit, and by serving his will. I don't know if we all understand that Father actually challenges all of us every day. A couple different ways. Simply by being Christ-like, he asks us to overcome. Here's the biggest one, to love our neighbors. He asks us to forgive, to serve, to be a good example. He recently has been asking us to be kind. He wants us to be a teacher. He wants us to build up, not tear down. He would ask all of us as guardians to fulfill our tasks. And we have an opportunity to work in eternity now. So I would encourage everyone to ask Jesus to take you into a realm, one you've never been to, one that he feels that your personality would do them a great deal of service. Does anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to say about this? Okay. On a personal note, I want to apologize to everybody for canceling the meeting last month. I'm not making an excuse, but I will tell you I was going through something personal at the time. I was in survival mode, and for a couple months, I was struggling with a number of things. Again, it's not an excuse, but I will tell you this, that if I don't feel I've put enough preparation into the team meeting, then I would do you a disservice by still holding that meeting. And I just can't. I can't do that. So I canceled it because I wasn't in the right frame of mind. My heart was all confused and complicated by a bunch of things going on in my life. I am going to ask a favor of everybody. I will send an email after the meeting to all of you, including the spouses. I would like to know if you have some expectations of me. What do you need from me to help you in your life? I would like to be a better leader and mentor to you. I would like to help you be a better guardian. I will tell you that I had a demon in my space for about a month, and I looked and I looked and I looked. I knew that something was off that entire time. I contacted Q. I had him look through my space, and he found it very quickly, and he removed it. I would encourage all of you that when you're in a situation where you feel that you're just surviving, I have a favorite saying, the easiest thing to do is nothing, right? If you're wallowing in your own crapulence and life is falling on around you, and I'll be honest with you, most of my problem was I let my job consume me. I let it take my peace. I let it, I'm working 50, 45, 50 hours a week, sometimes a little more than that. And then I'd get home and I would let it consume me. So I don't want anyone to think that they are alone through this. Yes, you have Father, but I will tell you, you also have me. And where perhaps I haven't been available, I make myself available to you. I gave Starlight a healing today. It was an awesome experience for both of us. If you would like a healing from me, then please contact me and let me know. And if you're local, I'll come to your home and we can do a healing there. If you're distant, I will give you one over the phone. I am changing who I am. I will not allow now my job to consume me in any way. I told my wife, we've been off for the last week. We took a vacation. It was a staycation. And we pretty much unplugged ourselves from the world as far as work goes. We didn't discuss it. We didn't bring it up. And we focused on each other. And Ethan was with us. And we took some trips and went shopping and spent more money than we probably should have. But, you know, that's life. But the point I'm trying to make here is you're not alone. I know that sometimes our lives get overwhelming and they consume us, and then we forget who we are and what our responsibility is. And this world and all the crap that is this world, it's not important, because there's going to come a time where it all is taken away. It passes away. It's gone. What will remain is your faith in Father and your responsibility as a guardian and a support. Does anybody have any questions?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I miss you guys. You have no idea how much I've missed you all.
Hey, Trilin.
Yes.
Can I share just a little bit more about the experience that we had with that demon?
Sure.
And it basically is about clear seeing and clairvoyance. Remember what we talked about there?
Yes.
And so, because you think to Trilin, he thought, why don't I see this? What is going on? Why can I not see this demon? And as he was saying that, and I was doing what I was doing with that, it came, it just basically told us that, okay, so think of it this way. When we are disconnected from Father, that doesn't mean that we're not close to him. It means that we're bogged down in the mire of our life, his job, whatever is going on in our life, that when we are so into this world, we're less connected to Father. If we're not connected to Father, we don't see clearly. And clairvoyance, the definition is seeing clearly. So people think clairvoyance is, oh, that's when you see the different things that nobody else can see. It also means clearly seeing who we are and where we're going and what we're doing. And when you think about that clairvoyance in terms of this, Trilin has had this happen to him before, and he couldn't see. And we all could potentially not see if we're letting the things in this world bog us down, just as he did with his job. That's why he couldn't see it. And so we have to realize we have to be connected and doing what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. Anything else that do you remember?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did it make sense the way I said it?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
When I send this email out, if you could respond all, I would love to have everybody see what your points are. Okay? Thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. Last thing, Trisus will do the religions next month. It was a great meeting. Thank you, everybody, for participating. We just don't have any more time.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody that Jesus' birthday is this week, July 17th is his birthday. So don't forget the guy. Send him a present. Buy him a beer.
What's his email?
You'll have to ask him. He said at heaven.com. But anyway.
At heaven.com.
Jesus at heaven.com.
Heaven. There you go. Got it. I'm going to send it and see what happens.
He said, Sam, I'll probably get it.
Okay.
All right. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to share, comment on, open up about?
Yeah. Don't mind.
Go ahead.
Sitting and listening and observing. And, you know, I have a bit of a history with some of the leadership in Canada. And I get to see the other side of things. You know how you can have that outspoken brother or that outspoken sister that doesn't agree with anything in the one congregation, always likes to complain. Well, the leadership has to deal with all of those all over the country all at once. And I have such a huge amount of respect for our chief apostle because of what he has to deal with. And, you know, as we went through these conversations, you know, some stuff was said somewhat harshly or harsher than others, and it was raw emotion. And the chief apostle said today, he said, you know, when King Herod pretty much interrogated and questioned the Lord Jesus, he didn't say a thing because he knew what was the point. He wasn't going to change the king's mind. It wasn't worth it. So it's not going to ruin my peace. When Jesus had the account with the adulteress, I like to think, I don't know if it's true or not, you know, he lived on this earth with people constantly trying to get to him, to annoy him, and to bother him. And the case of the adulteress is just another example. But what did he do? He crouched down in the sand and he drew. And I'd like to think that he took a minute to compose himself and to take a sec. Because he was human too. And it's very easy to be annoyed when all you're trying to do is help. And all you're trying to do is love. And all you're trying to do is worship. And we live in a world today where we've heard that that is starting to change. But you know, it's not new. My uncle, he lived in Beijing for 4 or 5 years. He was a priest there. They always used to have to put English books underneath the chairs, because if the government or the police were to come in, he'd right away switch and pretend that he was teaching them English lessons because it wasn't allowed. My grandfather, he was thrown in prison overseas because it wasn't allowed. A lot of the leaders, when they would go into certain countries in the, you know, in certain parts of Asia, they would have to lie and say that they were here on vacation because it wasn't allowed. it's what doesn't, this is what makes our faith deeper and asks you, how badly do you want it? When it's not a perfect picture and when it's not handed to you, you have to realize, how badly do you want it? And if it's not going to always be perfect, it's still good enough. And when you're able to realize that, you're able to really appreciate the small things and everything that the Lord gives you. I mean, the stories that my grandfather told me when he was overseas with the brothers and sisters that would walk for days, not weeks, District Apostle Deppner over in Africa, he still talks about those that he sees experiences when he goes on his journeys, just for a divine service and Holy Communion. I mean, when my mom mentioned the chief apostle and the biggest thing about the disease and the virus of unity breaking up, he brought that up because in Zambia, where this he was supposed to be and where it was being transmitted to originally, the issue in that country is a lot of rumors that are spread within the church. They're very passionate about their faith. And rumors would be spread. So he said, if you haven't seen it yourself, don't say it. Don't believe it. Just hold on to what you know, what you've seen, and what you believe, and hold on to the gospel. And then, you know, the last thing is, you know, the one hymn that we sing, Victory Through Grace, where, you know, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, but to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Means that it's not going to be easy. But if we don't give up, then there's grace. And we're going back to church in August. We, in the city of Toronto specifically, we can't celebrate communion. They've banned that right now, because they want to keep squashing this virus. We can only have up to 30% of our regular capacity. And right when service is over, there's no convening inside. You leave right away. And if it's at capacity, we can't invite anybody else in. Now, one may think that that's a bummer. We get to go back to church. We get to be with our brothers and sisters. And we get to have it live and in person. That's better than it was last week. It's not as good as maybe it'll be in the future weeks. But always remember that it was better than last week. And when we keep that mindset, then we always remain thankful and grateful for what we have. And very, very, very quickly forget about what we don't agree with, what we don't like, and what we can't control. Focus on what you can control. You can control your faith. You can control your trust. You can control your love. And then everything else, as for me and myself, we will serve the Lord. You can go to the left. You can go to the right. This is what I'm going to do. And when we have that attitude, we have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. But when we share that also with others, you know, departed, you know, you think, you have to ask yourself the question, if you weren't given this opportunity in this group, you wouldn't have known these things. You would know just as much as the other brothers would. We've been given a special insight. So think of all that the Lord knew and all that the people didn't. And how patient he was, how loving he was, how he was never, ever, ever judgmental. Why? Because he always saw the good in what can be and what could come from. And that would push out the frustration. So those are just a couple thoughts that I bit my tongue for a little bit, but I just wanted to share because I think it's important. It's a good countermeasure to the spirit of, to promoting the spirit of unity and not separation. So that's all I have. Sorry for the long-winded comments.
No, thank you very much. It was well spoken and said. Anybody else? Okay, I asked Tranquility if she would close. Tranquility?
Kind and gracious Father, we come to you and we're very thankful. So thankful that we could be together. You know how much we looked forward to, I was going to say this service, but to this meeting, dearest Father. We could feel everyone's hearts. It was nice to be together. And we pray, Father, that we may always be united in your mind and spirit. Because as long as we are in your mind and spirit, we have no reason to fear. We can trust you, Father, and we do trust you. We have seen time and again how wonderfully you have orchestrated things far, far better than we would have ever have imagined or that we could have ever thought of. Dearest Father, and we pray that we may always have those eyes, that we can always see what you see, and that we can always see what you would like us to see. Help us that we may make sound decisions and wise decisions, that we can be an example, not by what we say, but by what we do, that we can be an example as a guardian, as your child, as even a neighbor, that we can always do that which would be pleasing in your sight. And Father, we also pray that there are many here that have concerns on their hearts. Perhaps some are grieving, some may be depressed, some look for work, or maybe they have financial challenges or problems. We pray that you'll please continue to look after us all. We trust in you, Father, and we know that you will do that which is best. Please lay your blessing upon the week ahead. Continue to preserve us in health and in strength, and we are so very thankful that you have given us the health and the strength that we have. We know there are many that are suffering, but you have preserved us as you have promised. Continue to be with us and our loved ones, and Father, we pray that we may always remain united in your mind and spirit. Please continue to be with us. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Somebody sent me three questions about the Canadian Service for the Departed last week, so I wanted to go over those. First one, he said, the Disc Apostle said, we invite souls to the service. You had mentioned, and it's been mentioned, that we pray to Father to let the souls come to the altar. That is correct, that we should not invite the souls from eternity to the service for the departed, and I will expound on that a little bit. Father, Jesus, HS, the Apostles' Ministry, myself, and the Guardians have permission from Father to invite souls to come. If everybody else were to start inviting souls to come to the altar, those souls that are not ready to come may find it as a nuisance or an irritant, because sometimes Father allows them to hear our prayers. And I had discussed with Starlight, because she had asked me the same question. Well, she goes, it almost sounds like common folk, you know, with the parentheses. Common folk can't do that, but we can. And I said, you got to understand something. I only specifically invite souls for the realms that I've worked in, and I've seen the souls there. I know their hearts, and I know they're ready. Whereas everybody else were incessantly inviting souls, they could become annoyed with us, like I said. And it could become a stumbling block for them. When our brothers and sisters go to visit them, they're going to say, I don't want to hear anything from you because you people annoy me. Leave me alone. So I would say we should not. Everybody else should not invite them. Somebody sent me three questions about the Canadian Service for the Departed last week. We were told all sin ceases when one entered into the realms of the departed.
The Disc Apostle said we invite souls to the service.
You had mentioned
they cannot sin.
And it's been mentioned that we pray to Father to let
Father is actually the one who decides what a sin is.
That is, I can't for sure
correct
say that we should not invite 100%. From
because I guess
to the
it could be
departed,
viewed as sin from Father
if
bit.
Somebody were
Father
extended
Jesus,
an invitation
HS,
and they continually
ministry,
denied it, which means now
myself,
they're denying
the guardians,
him,
which actually
have permission
separation
from Father to invite
between him and the soul
to come. That's the definition of sin, isn't it? If everybody else were to start
inviting souls,
they could
come to the
altar.
But
as far as those souls that are not ready,
that you and I are familiar with,
we would need a body to commit as a new sins.
Or
I've said in previous meetings that my dad, he's been passed away now,
and I had 10 years Starlight because he had asked me the same question.
I have watched him change.
It almost sounds like
over the past 9 years, where I believe there were things that he was still working on.
And I said, you got to understand, despite
not having flesh,
I only specifically
need to work on those
for the realms that I've worked in, and
I don't think
I would call them sins.
I know they're hard.
I would call them
shortcomings.
Whereas everybody else,
they get their incessantly
inviting souls.
When we have our services for
they could become annoyed with
us, and they're pardoned by those, just like
we are.
And
it could become a
stumbling block for them.
The whole definition of what the disc apostles them,
they're going to say,
I don't
want to hear anything
black and white answer
because you people annoy me.
That's something that Father would have to define for
I would
us,
say
if he
we should not
need to discuss that with
everybody
me,
else.
I'll let him do that.
Invite them.
Number two,
D.A. Wool
said
one
question
was
D.A. mentioned that the
we were
spirit
taught all
says,
sin ceases.
I'm sorry, that the
when one spirit
stays with the soul
into the realms
when
of the departed eternity.
How can one
we
sin
taught
if the
soul
is
body.
By itself?
The spirit is
they cannot
to someone else,
in
and the
eternity.
Body goes into dust and ashes.
Father is actually the
correct.
One who decides
the spirit,
what
there's
sin
no reason
is.
For the spirit to be in
I can't
eternity
for sure
say
that
they
given
can't
to the soul
100%
when he has flesh
because
he has
I guess
flesh,
it could be
to
viewed
help them a sin
guide
from Father
them through their
if
natural
somebody
life.
Were
once
extended
the
an invitation
entered
and they
eternity.
Continually denied it,
that
which means now they're denying him,
so the soul,
which actually creates
by
separation.
Itself, it has
between
to deal
him and the soul
solely with itself.
That's the definition.
And then the
sin,
guides,
so in
per
theory,
se,
for that soul,
yeah,
they could
become our
but
brothers
as far
and sisters.
As other sins
in eternity.
They're
that
the ones
you and
I are familiar with.
They're
we
the ones
need a
that
body
to them.
Commit those sins.
They're the ones to guide them.
I've said in previous meetings that my dad, he's been passed
anybody
away
have
now
any
10 years this December. I have watched him change over the past 9 years where I believe there were things that he was still working on and overcoming in eternity despite not having flesh. He still needed to work on those sins. But I don't think I would call them sins. I would call them shortcomings because they get their sins forgiven when we have our services for the departed and they're pardoned by those just like we are. So the whole definition of what the Disc Apostle is talking about, I don't feel it's a black and white answer. That's something that Father would have to define for us. And if he feels the need to discuss that with me, I'll let him do that. The final question was, D.A. mentioned that the spirit stays with the soul when one enters eternity. We were always taught the soul is by itself. The spirit is recycled to someone else, and the body goes into dust and ashes. Correct. The spirit, there's no reason for the spirit to be in eternity anymore because the spirit is given to the soul when he has flesh or she has flesh, to help them, guide them through their natural life. Once the soul is entered into eternity, that doesn't need to be anymore. So the soul is by itself. It has to deal solely with itself. And then the guides, per se, for that soul, become our brothers and sisters in eternity. They're the ones who come and talk to them. They're the ones that encourage them. They're the ones to guide them to the process of becoming a firstling and an overcomer. Anybody have any questions?